Well, good morning. Sure, it's nice to be with you all here. You're probably a little bit surprised why I'm up here. Our dear brother, David Jones, unfortunately was unable to be here this morning. And so I get the privilege to share from God's word this morning. I'll be doing that to you. Just a word of encouragement, if you have a chance. I'm a guy, I like statistics and been talking with friends, and you know the Holy Scriptures talking to a lot of believers are they don't have enough time to get into the Word. They're busy, and we understand that. If you can read 200 words a minute, that's three words every just a little over 3 words a second. You can go through the entire Bible between 65 to 75 hours. You can read the entire Bible, and if that's still a big chunk of time, you can go through the New Testament in about 16 hours. And so I just say that to you, if you ever have time or encouragement, we live in a day and age today, and I won't go into detail today, but I had one very tough conversation earlier this week, and it's in regards to the scriptures, and there is such an apathy towards the Word of God, and as believers, we need to know what God's Word has to say. And so I'd encourage you, just as an encouragement, if you have a chance, spend time in the Word of God. You won't regret it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, with grateful hearts, we now bow before you and thank you for this time that we can open up the Holy Scriptures. We are so grateful to you for your great love in sending your one and only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to give his life for all mankind. Christ came, died, was buried, and was rose again, and he's seated at your right hand. And Father, you've given us your Holy Spirit that indwells every born-again believer, and you've given us your Word. As we open up the Scriptures now, we pray that you would teach us and share what you would have us to learn. And Father, only what is of the Holy Spirit would be remembered. If there's anything of man and myself, Lord, I pray that it would not be remembered. But as I always say, in everything that is said and done, you are given the glory and the honor. So we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said this morning, it's a privilege to be with you. I got a chance to speak, and I was praying on what to speak on. And I guess a question I have for you is there anyone here in the audience that might be more a little bit like me? Do you sometimes tend to worry? Be honest. It's okay if you're not. It can be a worry word. And I guess as I'm getting older and having family and having kids, I seem to worry a bit more. And sometimes can be a little bit consuming and take over your thoughts and you can get wrapped up in a lot of little things. And the reason why I mentioned to you earlier about if you have a chance reading the scriptures, I love going through the New Testament. Whenever I have a chance, just pick it up and read through. It's the story of the story of the little boy who was at the beach. He's trying to pick up water, and he's there, and this man comes up to him, and he had a sieve. And he sees the boy always going through the water, and he tries to pick up, and all the water drips down. And he says, "Little boy, you'll never be able to catch any water with that sieve." And the boy goes, But he goes, "But look, it's clean." And I say that to you. I know you're tired, you're busy. Whenever you have a chance, spend time in the Word of God. Scripture is very clear. God's Word does not return void. And even if you, when you're studying, there's times when you read the Scriptures and you're just too tired, get the Word of God in you, and God will use it to mold you and plant in your heart and in your mind. And I've been going through the book of Philippians. I love going through the letters from the Apostle Paul. And as I was telling you, as being a worrywart and sometimes thinking, well, God has instructions or words of encouragement in the Scripture for us that he'd like to us to know and understand. If you know anything about the book of Philippians, you know the whole book is actually written. The whole book, the overriding theme in the book of Philippians is about joy that Paul expresses. But during that entire book, he does come to this point where there's things that come up where we get worried and anxious. And as I was praying and speaking, thinking what I'm going to share about, it reminded me of a study that I'd done a few years ago. And so I re-brought it up, and I hope you take it this morning as an encouragement. Now, there's a story that goes about a woman. So there was a woman who had this fear. She loved going into her backyard, but she always had a fear, always had a fear that one day a wild animal would come into her backyard and attack her. And she lived in this constant fear. She left the garden, but she would never go into the backyard without her husband. So she lived with this fear for about 10 years. Then one day, her husband is out in the backyard, and he had a little fence, and he sees a little fence, and he sees the fence moving back and forth, back and forth. So he sits there and watch. Then all of a sudden, through the fence pops up a little puppy dog. And so the man looks at the puppy dog, and he goes, and he picks up the puppy dog, and he goes, "All right, mister, my wife's been waiting for you for 10 years. Let's go meet her." Now, why do I tell you that story? And maybe you've heard this before. A simple fact, that dog, that puppy, you know, comes up, say it bit her at once, and it's done. But that fear of that dog or a wild animal coming to bite you can bring anxiety in your life, and it can rob your joy. Can rob from you, and it can last for years, and in this case, a decade. Just the fear, just the worry. And you know, it's funny, and I've had this stat before. Some of the things that stress us out and what we worry about, we use antibacterial soap, you know, to wash our hands. Some of us use filtered water. That's me, because, you know, I'm scared of tap water, so I drink out of filtered water. And statistics show in the U.S. that 20% of drivers don't wear their seatbelts. Do you think that's the same in Canada? No. Well, I think we wear our seatbelts more. But they say 20% of people smoking, and they're seeing a decline, which I believe. And they estimate, and I think this is a low estimate, that 70% of people either talk or text on their phone while they drive. So, you know, when you hear that, makes you sometimes think that people worry more about perceived dangers while ignoring real ones. You understand? So today I wanted to look at God's Word, and I hope you take this as an encouragement. As I was studying the Scriptures, I think this was more meant for me whenever you study God's Word, and I hope you can take some encouragement from it. And as believers, when you understand what God's Word says on worry and anxiety, and you get a really real grip on it, I hope you can change your perspective and change things. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. A very familiar passage, if you have it. Just the background, Paul wrote this to the church in Philippi. I think, if you know that, around approximately 61-62 AD. And this is while he was in his first Roman imprisonment. And it was during this time that he wrote the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians and Philemon. So about 61-62 AD, we know roughly 66 AD, almost 67, Paul was put to death by Emperor Nero. But this is the situation. He's writing from Roman imprisonment, and he's writing this. And as we get to Philippians chapter 4, he's in a line of exhortations that Paul is using to write the Philippians. Now, when you hear the word exhortations, do people understand what that means? And I just got the definition. An exhortation is something as a warning or advice, or make an urgent appeal. It can encourage, incite, or advise believers. It's like a form of teaching, but more. Not just telling believers what they must do, but also help show them how to do it. And it encourages you to take actionable, tangible steps given in God's Word and point back to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's in a list of exhortations. And verses 1, if you see, it says, "Stand fast in the Lord." Verse 2, it says, "I beseech, I implore you that you be in the same mind in the Lord." Verse 3, "I entreat, urge." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord." And now we come to verses 6 and 7. So this is what I wanted to read to you now. I think you know these verses. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I want to read that one more time. This is what the Apostle Paul is writing. "Be anxious for nothing, but but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, as you read this, you might think, wait a second, this sounds way too simplistic. Be anxious for nothing? Come on. You know, God, in his infinite grace and mercy, has revealed truth to us that is simple, but also needful. So we can understand, and if we can get this, we can understand and get out of verse 6 to get to verse 7 and get the rest in verse 7. And when I say it sounds too simplistic, simplistic usually means it oversimplifies a situation but fails to deal with complexities of the situation. That's not what's happening here. He's given us a simple answer, and it's a simple means straightforward and easy. And what you'll discover, most truth in the Bible and God's Word is simple truth. And so this morning, I hope you get a hold of this truth and apply it to your everyday life. It can really revolution your lives, and especially for people if they're worrywart, sometimes like me, it's a real encouragement. So there's four steps, and I'll go through them quick. Number one, understand what is the problem in these verses. So we see it in verse in the second word, it says the problem. Be anxious. So that's the problem all of us have to deal with at some point in our life. And there's a lot of things we can be anxious about. Do people ever get anxious about things in their family? I do. Do you ever get anxious about things in your relationship? I do. Do you ever get anxious at times, sometimes financial? I do. And man, it's good to see all of you guys are bang on. Do you ever get anxious about things in regards to your health? I do. And all these things. The word here, be anxious, the word in English is actually translated from the original Greek word, and the word is miranaho. I've mentioned this before. It's used about 19 times. 19 times in 17 New Testament verses. And it's translated into three English words. And those are worry, anxious, and care. Miranahu. Worry, anxious, and care. Now this same word is the word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 25. It's used in a number of places in the scriptures. But when Jesus says, do not worry about your wife, that is the word he chose. Miranahu, concerned, worry, anxious, and care. And now that word, the Greek word miranahu, actually comes from two more Greek words that are stuck together. And when you see where it comes from, I hope you get a better appreciation of what actually worry means from a biblical perspective. And the first word that miranahu is made up of one word is called marizo, which means to tear or to separate. Marizo, to tear, to separate, or to divide. And the second word is nahos, which actually means the mind. So when you kind of put that back together, miranahu, it literally means to tear, divide the mind. That's what the word anxious means, to tear or divide the mind. And that's a really good description of the word anxiety or worry. When your mind is divided by legitimate thoughts, there are legitimate reasons that people get anxious. It's okay. Legitimate thoughts and concerns and destructive thoughts. And we take it that further place. And your anxiety takes your mind in two different directions. It tears your mind into two different pathways. And as studying this a little bit more and reading up on it, and it's that perpetual state of always being anxious. Always. It tears your mind and it pulls you apart. We know in James chapter 1, verse 18, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, who here knows people that can't make up their minds when you ask them for something to do? Hey, where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Maybe you aren't like that, but if those of you are married, just talk to your wives, and when you don't get them an answer, they're not too happy with you. You know, I remember years ago I had a fellow back when I was single, and he was double-minded. He wanted to get married. There was two girls he liked, two girls he was interested in, and both girls were interested in him, but the guy could never make up his mind. And you know what happened at the end? Both girls found up and they left him. He's still single today. So you know what I mean? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And they both left. I still remember that. Think about that. If you think about all that's happened in the world in the last few years, as well as in you watch what's happening today socially, economically, we see inflation, rising costs, we see what's happening in our culture. I talked to a parent, my son had a hockey game yesterday, I talked to a parent who's in a different school and he's telling me what's happening in the school system. He's anxious, and you see what's, when you turn on the news, you see what's happening with Israel, Iran, and all the geopolitical stuff that's going on in the world. It really, it's a trying time for people. And you know, I'm a stats person, and so I look up stats, and I found something from Canadian stats. It's always U.S. stats, but I found this, and it reported on June 30th, 2023 from Dr. Google. So if you ever want to find a stat, just go on the computer and Dr. Google. And it says, what's the number one most diagnosed health disorder in America? I think we all know this. Most diagnosed mental health disorder is anxiety disorders. And it's estimated that 40 million adults have an anxiety disorder. That's 18 and above. And this stat is from the States. And this is what the characteristic. I just want you to kind of understand it. We're going to go through the scripture. We're going to unpack this. But a reason I tell you this is because God has given us reasons and things to trust Him. And it says this, an anxiety disorder is characterized by chronic worry that impacts an individual's functioning. A person with anxiety may constantly worry about the future, either real or imagined. And people with anxiety tend to avoid the situations or places that make them anxious, which may bring relief temporarily, but only trains the brain to strengthen the fear associated with the trigger. And you know what? You can't fully live your life when you're always living in anxiety or fear. It robs from you. And you know what? Our God and our Savior wants us to have a full life. So then the question you've got to ask yourself is, well, what are we so worried about? And I found a thing called Ipsos poll. I guess you've heard of Ipsos. It's a survey plane. It's a survey company. And an Ipsos poll in December 2023 in Canada, 63% of people are worried about their personal income, financial insecurity, including interest rates and inflation. Number two, 55% personal and family issues, such as children stress in the family. Number three, 44% global instability will affect future generations. Number four, 42% escalation of wars and conflict and impact on their children around the world. And number five, 34% extreme weather events as a result of climate change. And I thought, wow, that's pretty crazy. That's December 2023. We're in October now, 2024. So I got an updated one. I just want to, what do people worry about? Canadians, for many, 89% parents say they fear for their children's future. So this is a more practical sense. And a majority of Canadians are fearful of rising costs of living, inflation, we know that. The latest poll says 92%. The potential for a whole generation growing up with worsening conflicts and wars, we're seeing what's going on, 84%. And the state of the Middle East, 76%, and extreme weather events affecting their home and community, which is 60%. So people are worrying about all these things. When I take a step back, I'm thinking, wow. You know, as a believer and looking at a person, I can see that if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your anchor in your faith, you'll be drifting in life in the waters of uncertainty, being unsure. And what I mean by that is, I can see why people worry. If they've got no hope, if they don't understand that they were fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God. We have a Creator who loved us and created us, sin separated us, and there was nothing that we could do to get right with Him. So God, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, at the appointed time, sent His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he gave his life for all mankind. He went to the cross of Calvary. There he took the wrath that we rightly deserved. He was put on a cross. He died. He was buried. But triumphantly rose again. And the scripture says, any man, woman, or child who by faith repents and puts their trust in him passes from death to life, has eternal life. And we don't go through this life alone. When you understand that, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a peace that the world doesn't understand. And I'll get to that. It's a scary thing. I looked up at a psychiatric website, and this is what it says about anxiety. You can't get rid of it. You just have to make it a healthy part of your life. And when I read that, I was thinking, I don't know. I don't think that's what the scripture tells us. And if the best in the world has to offer you to manage it, I think there must be a better way. And the Bible tells us as believer and teaches us that we can deal with it. So let's keep reading. So number one, the problem is being anxious, worrying cause. So number two, the prescription. What does it say? It says, be anxious for nothing. Wait a second. Stop there. Did you get that? The way it's written, and I'll go through it. It's written as in the command. It's written in the present active imperative. And you got to remember, who's writing this? Be anxious for nothing. This is the Apostle Paul, who's in a Roman imprisonment. He's writing to a church in Philippi. Yeah, he really didn't have a reason to be anxious. I don't know about you, but if I was in an imprisonment in that type, I'd probably be anxious. And he writes, stop worrying, which honestly sounds absurd. He says, be anxious for nothing. I'm a worrier. So when I read that as a man, I'm thinking, he's crazy. What do you mean stop worrying about nothing? That sounds unreasonable, sounds naive, and it's idealistic. And, you know, you come to sometimes think, like, what planet were you from, Paul? And to make it worse, the way this is phrased in the Greek could be translated, stop worrying even about one thing. That's how it's phrased in the Greek. Be anxious for nothing. Now, before you get mad at Paul for saying this, I guess you have to ask a question. In reading our Bibles, or if you're familiar, was there anyone else that said anything like this? Can you think of? Well, yes, there is. And that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? That's exactly the same thing Jesus says, but he gives us a reason why not to worry or to let anxiety rule over us. In Matthew chapter 6, I just want to read these verses so you can hear what our Lord said about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 24, 7. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body that you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? He says, and so understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Do not worry. He's not saying kick back and be lazy and just go outside and open your mouth and the food's going to come in. You know, he gives us the examples of the birds. Birds don't do that. You see birds, they still fly around. They look and they hunt down worms, and there is effort. What Jesus is saying is don't be over anxious concerned about your needs in life, that it divides your mind. Trust him. He knows what you need. And in the example, he uses birds. Now here's the question. I've used this example before, but have any of you ever seen a worried bird? Have any of you ever seen a bird fly with its wings over its head and say, oh man, how am I going to ever pay the rent on my nest? No. Have you ever seen a bird? They just fly. And they sit on there and they sit on their perch on the tree and not a care in the world, no stress. And Jesus gives us in Matthew, in this portion, why the three reasons why we should not worry. One, it's unhealthy. Jesus said, is life not more than food? Do not worry, stress, anxiety. Oh, sorry, he says, is not life more than food in the worrying facts? And do you know that worry, stress, anxiety can harm your physical life? your body and your mind. Quote from Harvard Medical Society, those that battle anxiety have a risk of developing a number of chronic medical conditions. It actually affects your body. It will affect your GI system, respiratory system, and has been linked to heart disease. So it's unhealthy. And, you know, and that's what we're saying, that's what stress does to you in a physical sense. When you're stressed and when you're worried, your immune system is down. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of those that also had this. And in Daniel chapter 6, you remember King Darius signed a decree stating, if any man bows down to anyone but a statue of him for 30 days, he would be thrown into the lion's den. Well, what happened? We know the story of Daniel. Daniel would not bow. Daniel prayed to his God. He was tricked into it, and so King Darius had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. If you read Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, Daniel was in the lion's den, no problem. But King Darius was stressed. His sleep went from him, and he didn't eat. If you have a chance, read the story of Daniel chapter 6. Now, I don't know about you, but if you don't sleep and you don't eat, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Stress, anxiety causes physical. In fact, Scripture even shows us this. In Numbers chapter 11, also Moses, he was stressed out over the people's complaining in Israel. And he prayed in verses 14 and 15. He says, I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Please kill me now. That's anxiety. So anxiety is unhealthy. It's not good for you physically. Well, another reason why it's not good, it's unbecoming for a believer. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, as a child of God, then we've got to trust. You know, the Bible says we come to God in childlike faith. And I actually, as I get older, I truly understand that. I've got little boys, and you tell them to jump, you know, Daddy will catch you. They don't bat an eye. They'll climb the highest thing and they'll jump because they trust. They're getting bigger, so I can't catch them anymore. They're big dudes. But what I mean is like childlike faith. And that's what God wants us to do when we come to Him, is to trust Him. So when a child of God is always anxious, remember, there's legitimate concerns, but if we're always over anxious, in a way we're saying, I don't trust you, God. You said things in the Scriptures, and there's certain things I believe, but I'm not sure about the rest when it comes to my life. And to be constantly consumed with anxiety and worry shows that we have a lack of trust in God for caring for us. Jesus gave the example. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them. That's what Jesus gave this example. And if you pay attention to what it says your heavenly Father. It doesn't say their heavenly Father. They don't have a personal relationship with God. Birds, they weren't made in the image of God. Mankind was. We have a relationship with Almighty God. He says, your heavenly Father. And if your Father feeds the birds, will He not feed His children? There's a relationship there. Always remember that. You know, I have two boys. I talk a lot about my kids. Wherever they go, and whenever we go anywhere, do you know those boys are never stressed on when, how they're going to get there or what they're going to eat? I've never seen them stressed about that. And as a parent, you delight in caring and providing for your children, or at least you should. And that's what we do as a normal person. Imagine what our Heavenly Father and how He feels for us. He knows your needs. He has your concerns. He wants you to come to Him. It's unhealthy. It's unbecoming of a believer. And point three, it's unproductive. It says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? That's what Jesus is saying. What good has worry ever done but rob you of joy? You know, another statistic, there's an article from the Huffington Post. This one's a little bit dated, but I like the numbers that it stated. In 2015, they asked the question, 85% of things you worry about never really happen. And of the 15% that do happen, of the respondents, 79% said they could handle it, and it wasn't as bad as they thought, and it taught them a lesson they thought was worth learning. So if you take the 85%, then the 79% of the 15%, the total is 96.85% of what you worry about is just fearful mind pushing you with worry and misconceptions. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. So we see the problem, we see the prescription, now let's go to the third, the solution, or the remedy. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. And they always say the path to peace is always paved with prayer. It says this, but in everything, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What do we have there? The word but in verse 6. That's a word of contrast. Paul is pivoting. He says, don't do this, but do that. And so if the problem is anxiety, what's the solution? Or a word. The word for replacement, the Bible has a word for that. Is if the problem is anxiety, the solution is replacement. And the word the Bible has for that is the word casting. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your cares. And that's the same Greek word, merinma. Same word, the thoughts that divide the mind, upon him, for he cares for you. So you yourself don't carry your cares, but you cast your cares. You guys know what casting is, right? Ever see fishermen with the line? Well, I got a better example. It's my kids again. We make them go to school, and they wear a backpack. You guys know what a backpack? They have to have their school homework. We have their nice lunch kit. We have their clothing. And we tell kids, forget it. We say, you carry that to school, and you bring that home. And when you get home, you put that nicely. What's the first thing they do when they get through the door? They just throw it. They cast it. That burden on their back walking home, which they never want to carry. They always want mommy and daddy to carry. It's like, you carry it. First thing they do with their home, they cast it. And that's the idea, what God wants us to do is casting all our cares on him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are legitimate concerns, but he's saying casting. They don't wear that burden all day. And the thought is redirect your energy and redirect your anxiety by prayer. It says by prayer and supplication. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why is it the first thing we do? What we should do is turn to our Heavenly Father. And this is the last thing we do. That is prayer. We think we can wrestle with it. Maybe not you. I know I do. I always try to figure out the solution. And then when I'm desperate enough, then I pray. And I realize I should have gone to the Lord 2 days ago. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 18, verse 1, that he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The word prayer here is the general word prokuse, which is often translated, and I want you to get this, worship or devotion. And prokusune, the Greek translation from the Hebrew scriptures. So when you're tempted to worry, what should you do? You should worship. You focus off your concern, and now you focus on God's greatness. That's what he's saying. Lots of time we go to the throne room and we start casting. You know, the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to come to him and lay our burdens at his feet. But we need to come in the right approach. And in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus taught them how to pray, he says, verse 9, it starts off, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is worship, is honoring him. Worship and worry, they can't coexist in the same heart. One will cause the other to diminish. You know, when we're worried, there's fear. But fear can't stay in the same place as gratitude. It goes on to say, we worship, and it says, with prayer and supplication. What does supplication mean? You guys understand what that word? We throw out words all the time. Supplication means to plead or to beg humbly. It means a strong crying. It's more emotional. And God asks us to cry out to him. Don't give up whatever you're going through. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Constant prayer. When you face or find a problem, you know what I'd recommend? Find a promise in the scripture and make the prayer out of it. If you're ever lonely, and I've been there, I can only tell from personal experience. A lot of times I was lonely, and I remember the verse from scripture, I'd pray. And I remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you take that to heart. That's the type of God we got. That's the type of Savior who wants a relationship with you. with prayer and thanksgiving. Don't forget to thank God. Always have a heart of gratitude. How is it when I'm stressed out and you don't know what to do and you think, God wants me to thank him? But prayer stuff with thanksgiving? Thank God that we have a personal God and Savior that cares for us and wants us to come to him and has given us his word, his promises, which you can bank on. You know, it's easy to thank God for obvious blessings when things are good. Maybe you get a new job, you get married, you have a family, you finish school. Hey, that's great. That's easy. But how easy it is now when you can't pay your bills? Your cupboards are empty. Relationships are broken down. You have health issues or financial issues. The key is to be in the will of the Lord. He says, come with thanksgiving. But in everything, in prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, come to him. You know, those trials God is using is to refine and mature you in your walk, to draw you closer to him. What he wants you to do is think and thank. You know, faith in Jesus, we've been declared righteous. We have a right standing before God when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also sanctification. And that's the process from today till the day you die, till God calls us home. We're being refined, growing in our maturity, in our faith. You know, there's a verse in Scripture that's always taken out of context. Philippians 2 verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you think of that verse, it doesn't say work for, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, your faith, just like a human body, if you go to the gym and you work out, you'll become one of those muscle men or you'll be in shape. And that's what he's talking about, our faith. We need to work it out. That's why the Lord allows us to go through trials. It makes us stronger and more dependent on him. I'm almost finished. You know, in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and 19, there's a story about 10 lepers. And yeah, I don't know if you knew what leprosy was, but it was a skin disease in that day. And those people had no hope. It was an incurable disease. It was a slow, painful death. And then when they walked around, they had to yell, unclean, unclean, so nobody would come around them. They were outside the city. And what does it say? That Jesus healed them. And when Jesus healed them, he said, go and show yourself. And in that example, what happened? Only one of the 10 came back to give him thanks. 10%. Anxiety refuses to share its heart with gratitude. It says, let you go with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So you got prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. It says, let your request be made to God. It doesn't say your demands. You know, I have to say this because I do watch a bit of YouTube. I watch speakers that share the gospel and teach God's word. And there is a false doctrine out there that says, you're a child of God, you demand God, and he's going to give it to you. That's a false doctrine. Make your request known to God. There's the false theology, you name it, you claim it. That's not how it works. It says you make your request known to God. And you know, we know our God, he wants us to come and he'll answer our prayers. It may be yes, maybe no, it may be wait, or I've got something better. But make your request known to God. And it says make known to God. You want to articulate what you want, not a general blanket, Lord, bless my life, bless my children. He wants you to be specific when you come to him. I don't know about you. You know, days I get lazy, so I just pray, oh, Lord, please watch over my children. But no, God wants us to pour out our heart and be specific. That's the type of God we have. That's the type of Savior we have. Whatever's on your heart, he wants you to come and bring it before him. And then you start thinking and asking yourself, well, why do I have to tell God? He knows everything. The Bible says he knows your need before you ask it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. So then why do we have to inform him? You don't inform God. He already knows, but you're conformed to him. When you come and bring your request to God, when you pray, you're being changed. You're voicing your weakness and saying, I can't do this. And again, I bring up the example in my own life. As a parent, I love it when my child comes, he's working on something and he can't figure it out. And he comes to me and he says, Daddy, I can't do this. Can you help me? And you know what do I say as a father? Absolutely. You know, when they voice their weakness and their dependence, Scripture tells us we are weak, but he is strong. And he wants us to come with prayer, supplication, thanking them, make your requests known to God. And what do we do? The last point, we get to point four, is the promise. And then it says, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 7, and the peace of God. You know, the peace of God, not every believer has that. Now, we as believers, when we know God, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Savior. We surrender. But if our life is not in the will of the Lord, if we're not walking, we're not spending time in His Word in prayer and fellowship, and we're doing our own thing, then we don't have that peace of God in our life. And I've heard it say, Jesus as your Savior brings us peace with God. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He brings the peace of God in your life. It's going to be okay. And it says, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It transcends human intellect, your ability to explain. You know, 22 years next Sunday, my dad went home to glory. And I remember that was the toughest thing I ever went through at that time. But there was a peace which I couldn't explain, and only God can give, knowing that my father and my mom passed away last year. There's a peace. I hope you, those that have gone through a loved one whose death, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know when a person is soundly saved, Scripture says we sorrow not like others. We sorrow, but we know we're going to see them again. And that's why you can function. I know I'm going to see my father. I know I'm going to see my mom again, not because they were good people, but because they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a peace that helps you get through things. There's been a number of other things that have gone on in my own life personally, which I'm not proud of. And the Lord has got me through it, and there's a peace that He gives, which the world doesn't understand. That's how when you get down, you get knocked down, you get back up. Only He can do that. It says, we'll guard your hearts and mind in the house in Christ Jesus. Think of Daniel. Daniel, 30 days he couldn't worship anyone in the Babylonian system. Daniel went home and prayed and gave thanks to his God. Men found him praying and making supplication. The rule was, if you do that, you'll be put to death. But Daniel had peace. Daniel chapter 6 verse 11 says, he had peace in the den with the lions. You know, our time is up, and I haven't done justice to this passage. And what I'm trying to say, it's not easy. It's a process that we have to go through. But when we put it all back together, this passage which Paul has given us, we enter the passage in anxiety and we leave in peace. And in between, there's prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And it's a process. You know, if there's anything I've said this morning that you don't fully understand or agree with, I'd love to talk to you. But I want you to know, we have a God in God in heaven who sent His one and only Son who wants to have a relationship with us. And He wants to know everything about you. And so when you're going through life, and when as a believer, if there's anything that you're worrying or caring, it's just cast and bring it before Him. And if there's anyone here this morning that has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would urge you to not leave this place without having that assurance. You know, we live in a day and age, everyone's busy. And we think we're going to live tomorrow. I tell them, my birthday's coming up next week. Somebody asked me, I'll be 51. I didn't mean to say it. Chris, that means you're going to be 51 too. But what I mean to say is, where does time go? Time is fleeting. And we don't even know what our next breath is. God holds our very breath. And the scripture says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. And for those of you that are believers here that have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, keep on going. You know, don't give up. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus is going to take us all away from this. But until then, we're the only lights. We're a light in the world. God's asked us to be examples. People will never read the Bible or maybe come to church. Well, they'll read your life. They'll read your words. They'll read your actions. And we want them to be drawn to the Savior through a transformed life. As I said, if there's anything I've said that you don't want to talk more about, I'd love to talk to you. But let me read the verses again, and I'll close with this. The scripture for today was, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father, we just come before You now and thank You once again for this short season that we have a chance to go through your word. Father, we are so thankful for what you've given us in the scriptures to live our life. And Father, we know we live in a day and an age where things are going crazy, it would seem, and people are anxious and worried. And you've asked us not to worry, to come and to make our requests known to you, to bring everything to you in prayer and supplication. Father, I thank you for each and every person that is here this morning. We know there are many places they could have chosen to be, yet you've brought them in our midst. And Father, I pray that the words that would be only from the Holy Spirit, that were from you, would resonate. Father, anything that I've said is all of myself or of man. Lord, I pray they would forget everything that was said, but only remember what you would have to say. We are so grateful that we have a loving God and a Savior who wants a personal relationship with us and who cares for us. We go through this world with a lot of trials and troubles, Father, but when we put our trust in you, we don't go through it alone. And Father, I pray this morning if there be someone that has not that peace or assurance, that they would not leave this place without that assurance. As we get ready to depart, Father, I pray that you would take us home in safety and then you would continue to guide and direct us. If you be not come, that we would continue to live for you. And so we just commit our service to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.